But tonight is about what God has done for us through Jesus. Verse 19 of Colossians 1. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight." So tonight is holy and unblameable. Do you mind, brother, getting a couple of double A's off my desk? It sounds like it's about to go. The microphone, it just does that randomly. Holy and unblameable. Those are some beautiful words to describe us. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and the privilege it is to look into it. Lord, guide us tonight in your truth and speak to our hearts through it. And Lord, may we just be reminded of how blessed we are to be your children. And may you be glorified. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So forgive me for this slight technical interruption. Thank you so much, my brother. It always happens during a sermon. I guess that's a given, isn't it? So, he reminds us about Jesus there in verse 9, that Jesus is God. Amen? It says, "In him should all fullness dwell." Look at chapter 2, verse 9 of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, "For in him," talking about Jesus, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now, that definitely teaches the Trinity, doesn't it? Notice this is the Godhead, and Jesus, is, it says, is the bodily manifestation of the Godhead. But he has all the fullness of the Godhead, which means he has to be God. So Jesus Christ here has all that fullness. He is God, and of course, because of that, he can save us, amen, and do all these amazing things for us, as we'll see tonight. Now, remember when we were in verse 13, we found out that we've been delivered, that we've been translated into the kingdom of his true Son. In verse 14, we found out that we've been redeemed and forgiven. But tonight, we find out even more that Jesus has done for us. Verse 20, firstly, he made peace through his blood. Peace. This peace is talking about peace with God. We, before we get saved, we are enemies of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, and we'll see this. Every unsaved person, yes, God loves the world so much he was willing to die for the world, but they are still his enemy because there is still a barrier between them and God. It's called sin. And until that is taken care of, there can be no peace between a human and his creator. That wall of partition has to be broken down. And that can only happen with the substitutionary death and blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Ephesians 2:14, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." I was just mentioning that. But there it is, the wall of partition, the wall that separates the unsaved from God. The Bible says it gets broken down by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we're made nigh. As it says here, peace comes. Jesus is our peace, as it says there in Ephesians 2:14. And so the first thing we see tonight, that Jesus Christ, through his blood, has made peace for you and I that are his children. On top of that, verse 20 of Colossians 1, he's also reconciled us to God. It's one thing for the wall to be broken down. It's another thing for us to be completely reconciled to each other, isn't it? Yes, he tore down the wall, hallelujah. But he did more than that. He completely reconciled man to God. Notice it says, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, if you would, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll see more about this reconciliation that took place through the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have been reconciled to our Creator through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we've been, the wall of partition has been broken down and we have peace with God now. We've been reconciled to God. And it says that again in Colossians 1:21. You that were sometimes alienated and enemies, that was before we were saved. We were alienated from God. We were the enemy of God. Yet now it says, hath he reconciled. If you go to Romans 3:25, there's another word that God uses that's very similar to reconciliation, and that's the word propitiation. One of those words we don't hear very often. But Romans 3:25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That word propitiation, very similar to reconciliation. It means God is satisfied now with the payment of Jesus Christ, and therefore we are no longer enemies or alienated from God. We've been completely, God's been propitiated. We've been reconciled. Those two words are like a team. It's God. God didn't need any reconciliation, right? We're the ones that had to be reconciled. It's God that's propitiated or satisfied with the payment of Jesus Christ's blood. But we were, Ephesians 2:19 says, we were strangers and foreigners before we got saved. Alienated from God. Romans 5:10 says, we were enemies. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, as we see here tonight in Colossians 1, peace has been made with God and we've been reconciled to God. Then he mentions, verse 22, the death of Jesus Christ. This would take a very in-depth study, but it took both to save us. The death and the blood and the death. It takes both. Amen? It takes the blood to cover our sins, to justify us, but it takes the death for Jesus Christ to be the substitute and to make the payment that we owed, which was death. It takes both. And so notice the blood, it says, made peace with our Creator and reconciles us to Creator. But it says through death, he can now present us, look, holy, unblameable, and unprovable. Those are some beautiful words. But go to Hebrews 10:10 first and just talk a minute about his death. And so it takes, again, the death of his body and the shedding of his blood for us to be saved. That's what it tells us here in Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So notice the offering of his body. We also read other places about the offering of his blood. But through the offering of his body, through his death, the Bible says because of that substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, right, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because of that, he can now present us to the Father holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. That's very exciting. Praise God. And that's the only reason we're going to be allowed into heaven. Not because of who we are, what we've done, but because Jesus shed his blood and gave his body as an offering for sin. And that's been applied to our account. It's amazing when you think about it that God chose to do this for us just out of his kindness, his graciousness. He didn't have to, did he? He's God. He can do whatever he wants. He could have just said, after the fall, that's it. All of mankind can go to hell. And we would have had no argument. We couldn't have done anything about it. But that's not what he chose to do, is it? He instead, right there, as soon as they fell, what did he do? But go kill an innocent lamb. And that had to shed its blood, that had to die, and gave them the clothing from that lamb's skin. Right there. It's going to take some death. It's going to take some blood of an innocent lamb. And it's been that way since then. But God says that you and I now will be presented to God holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Look at Ephesians 5:27, where he likens the church to the husband and wife relationship. He bounces back and forth in this beautiful passage about the relationship between Christ and his church and his bride and a husband and a wife here on earth. And he makes a statement here in Ephesians 5:27, which I don't know what briders can do about this verse, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Has anybody ever known a local church to not have a spot or a wrinkle? I mean, think about it. All local churches are filled with sinners and have so many spots and wrinkles. So this is obviously not talking about the local church. It's talking about the church, the body of Christ. And it says it will not have a spot. It will not have a wrinkle. Notice it should be holy and without blemish. So this is talking about the doctrinal standing of God's children, isn't it, in Jesus Christ, that we are holy and without blemish. This glorious church that we all became part of at salvation. And now, when we stand before God, it's amazing, but it's true. Look at Romans 5:9. God will look on us, and he will see someone who is holy, someone who is unblameable, and someone who is unreprovable. And no matter how much the devil tries to come after us here on earth and cast blame upon us and cast reproof upon us, none of it sticks. Amen? Because we're in Christ. Romans 5:9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That word justified, we've talked about it a lot. It means we're declared sinless, unblameable, unreprovable. These two words, by the way, they only occur here. And it's describing what we are in Jesus and what we will be when we stand before God at the judgment seat. One more verse, Jude 24, the book of Jude in verse 24. Notice what it says. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Isn't that beautiful? Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, yes, we sin down here, but there are two different things. One is experiential here on earth. One is our doctrinal standing in Jesus Christ. When we stand before Jesus Christ at his judgment, he is not going to bring up our sins. They're gone. Amen? He will call us to give account for what we did for him with the gifts and the time and the talents that he gave us. But we won't have to make account for our sin. Those are gone. We will be holy, we will be unblameable, and we will be unreprovable. Isn't that something? There will be no blame from the devil. There will be no reproof from the devil. No accusations from the devil. Nothing. We will stand before God and he will see complete holiness. Fascinating, isn't it? It's one thing that he saved us. Hallelujah. and said, I'll save you from your sins. It's another thing that he then declared us, wicked sinners that we are, holy, unreprovable, unblameable through Jesus Christ. When God does something, he does it all the way. Amen. Whatsoever God doeth, the Bible says it shall be forever in Ephesians 3:14. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Or not Ephesians, Ecclesiastes 3:14. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. And that's what God does for us in our salvation. That men should fear before him. So we now, through Jesus Christ's blood, through Jesus Christ's body and his death and resurrection, are declared by our God as holy and unblameable. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are so kind to us to declare us these beautiful truths. And I pray, Lord, that we would take what you've given us and we would serve you before we leave this earth. We would serve you with our time, with our talents. And Lord, that we would recognize that all of this has been gifted to us, these amazing truths. All you ask in return is that we put you first and obey you and serve you, which is nothing compared to eternity in heaven. So I pray that this would sink into our hearts and we would live what we are. And that's followers who are in Christ. Thank you for speaking to us. We love you in Jesus.